Scotia. Flowers on your back. Saw what you were missing. Thought you'd get back.
Break there. This is BJ, and welcome to DreamPath on BBS Late Night Live Talk Radio. You were just listening to one of our songs called Nova Scotia. Hope you enjoyed it. It's been playing on BBS radio. We sent that out to Don and Doug, and fairly recently, and that the CD is authentic, the opening. And the reason I'm talking about music right off the top of the show is we had a wonderful guest here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Derek Sivers is the run the whole show at Steve Baby. And at this time, he's going to different spots throughout the U.S., Canada, U.K., maybe other parts of the world as well. And he's organizing what's called Musicians Meetup. And this allows musicians from the area to get together and talk about what they're doing, how they like to do it, the kind of music they're playing. And also, because it's music and the music business, there's various different aspects to it, whether it's management, whether it's human photography, getting guest spots, and so on. So we had that meeting today, and it started around 4 o'clock our time, and it was at PGA O'Brien's, and the place was packed. I got there a little early just to be able to sit and relax before everybody came pouring in, and sure enough, you couldn't even move. It was wonderful. And I did get a chance to talk to a lot of the people there, and a really diverse group of musicians and musical styles, various people who work in the industry. And Derek at some point actually got up and called everybody's attention, and it was wonderful because he, you know, brought up a number of points that he felt were important, and he got everyone to speak up and say hello, who they are, what they do. And sure enough, when that happened, connections were being made as people were saying, you know, who they are and what they do. I got a chance to invite Derek to be on the show tonight, but hopefully I'll have him on a little bit later on. Not tonight necessarily, but, you know, sometime in the future. He's a wonderful individual. We talked about the industry. He really loves musicians, and he truly does promote them. And he said if the CD Baby wasn't anymore, it doesn't really matter to him. I mean, I'm sure it does, but the point being is that he's not doing this for a profit of his own. He's really doing that so that individuals can get their creativity, their music, their love of what they do to others who would really enjoy, you know, their creativity and so on. And I got to meet some very interesting people, including an old neighbor of mine. About three or four or five years ago, I had a neighbor named Noah Zacharin, and he's a musician, a guitarist. He's recorded about 5 or 6 CDs. And he was my next door neighbor, and quite often I'd be sitting in my backyard and I'd be hearing this guitar playing away. The way he practices his music to the ears, the birds would be chirping in the backyard, and I'd be hearing this wonderful guitar music. He sings as well, and I've been to a few of his concerts. Noah's been doing music for many, many years. And he is truly an integral artist, someone who writes from the heart, and it's just so beautiful. So it was great to see him there, and we talked a bit. And if you ever do want to listen to any of his music, he's on CD Baby. Just go to that site and look up Noah Zacharin, Zacharin. The CD I have in front of me is Silence Spoken Here. So look for that. I did get a chance to, when I mentioned that I'm doing this show, I certainly had quite a few artists come up to me and talk to me, and were very interested in BBS Radio. A number of them, surprisingly, hadn't heard of the station, so this internet radio station. So it was a day very well spent. I was hoping to have a few of the musicians perhaps to talk to, including Derek. If anyone does want to call in, you can. And being BBS Late Night, we have limited numbers. The USA is an 800, 1-877-270-8714. If you are not in the U.S., You have to dial direct, and that is 530-413-4515. So if you'd like to call into the show, please do so. Tonight I'd like to, because I don't have an official guest, and we certainly have some wonderful guests coming up during the month of March, and I'll be announcing that on a little bit later. Tonight I'd like to talk about Dream Path and a little bit about ourselves. Dream Path is a combination of myself, Dennis Joseph Gestadt, known as DJ here on BBS, and Geralyn Ramden. And she, both of us have had a vision of doing some wonderful work together. And this all started back in 1993 when we met. And it kind of went from there. One of the points, what I'd like to talk about is those times in our lives where miracles happen, where you actually feel a calling. You don't really understand why it's happening at the time, why you're being called to do something. And I'm sure a number of you who are listening can relate to this. It doesn't necessarily always make sense. But when the actual time comes, it is truly miraculous and a wonderful experience, and one that one usually does not forget, and has a very powerful effect on our lives. One of those times was back in 1997, and I heard of a place called the Northern Light Center, and it was reputed to be the highest point in terms of height level in southern Ontario. And I looked at the brochure, and they had a place where you could have quite a few people come in a communal together, a very large a building where you could have at least up to 30 people, and you could sleep over and spend the whole weekend. So Jared and I thought this would be a wonderful time to, because we've been drumming and toning and working with music in that way, and we would really felt the call to go out there. So we sent out an invitation to people that we knew and posted up various posters and flyers and so on, and invited people up. And we got a good response. And, you know, we were expecting about 10 to 12 people to come up with us. But when the date actually came about, believe it or not, everyone canceled. Now, when that happened, you know, I thought, I still really felt strongly that I wanted to go up there. I couldn't explain it, but I just felt this enormous pull to go up there and do the drumming and toning anyway. So Jerry and I decided we'd go up because a few people said they may come. But we called the people up there and said, look, this is what's happening, and we come up anyway, because there was a fee. And, well, they gave us a good price, and we drove up there. And sure enough, it was beautiful. And they greeted us there. They showed us the layout, what we could do. And we arrived, it was quite late at night, and we decided to, you know, look around at the property, because this was out way out in the country. When we looked out on the back, the moon was up, and it looked like there was a lake that had to be crossed. So we got our drums, our hand drums, and started to walk the property, and it stretched out, I think, for miles. And it wasn't a lake. It was just, I guess it was getting close to the springtime. And the snow had already melted, and it was really quite easy to walk over. And we walked along, and as we were doing this and as we were drumming, we began, it was almost like the trees began to speak to us. We had to stop. And in that silence, we could feel such a wonderful presence. And when we turned around and looked at the sky, there were the Northern Lights. Now, the Northern Lights are one of the most beautiful sights to experience. They flash across the sky in all kinds of colors. And the moon was up, the stars were out, the Northern Lights were flashing. We said our prayers to the universe. It felt so wonderful. Now, this property went on and on and on and on. And we began to continue our walk. And we could feel a presence with us as we did this. And we would come to these various stone fences. They were only about 3 feet high. And so it was quite easy to walk over them. And we continued on our way. And by this time, we must have walked a good mile. And we decided that the next morning we would like to see this in the daylight. And so we planned to do that. We walked back to the house. And I stayed outside. I was just looking up at the sky and just feeling wonderful. Upstairs, there was 2 floors to this place. It was a big, a large kettle drum. It was handmade, and we brought our own drums with us as well. And while I was standing outside, Jera had decided to go and start playing some of the drums. Now, this is another amazing part, because as she was playing, it sounded like there must have been 7 or 8 individuals playing different drums at the same time. But of course that couldn't be, because it was just Jera upstairs. And I almost ran up there to see how is this possible. But I stopped, because what I heard was so magical. It just fit in with the scenery that I was looking at: stars, the Northern Lights, the moonlight on the trees, and the drumming that she was doing was amazing. So I just listened. I didn't run up. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to stop whatever she was doing, because I couldn't believe that one person could be making all that sound. It's like almost that some, you know, a few people had returned and decided to make it. Once she actually finished, I paused before I went up, and sure enough, she had all these drums laid out, and somehow had managed to play all of them at the same time. The next morning, we decided to go for our walk again. We took our drums, we said our prayers, we did our toning, and we walked as far as we could to the end of the property. And when we got there, we noticed that there was a clump of trees, a sort of bush area. And we decided to go in there. And when we got in, we stopped, and there was this very large rock. And it seemed to have a certain power. It just, something was emanating from it. And we didn't quite understand what was going on at the time. We just could feel the presence of this energy. And while this was going on, it seemed almost as if time stood still. And after, we don't even know how much time. It only seemed that, you know, that we were there for about 10 minutes. But when we went to leave the area where the trees and the bush and the stone were, we came out in a totally different area. We didn't know where we were. And we both looked at each other like, how do we get back? How did we get where we are right now? And it's these magical moments. And Jared's looking at me right now. Yes? Well, did you want to add a comment to this?
Well, my story's totally different.
You see, everyone's perception is different.
Absolutely.
What is your perception of this?
Well, we were drumming, and we come across a row of rocks. And we would cross over these rocks, and the tones of our drums would change. And we kept walking, and then there was another horizontal row of rocks that we crossed. And it was like the vibration between these rows of drums just switched our consciousness, switched the vibration we were feeling, and switched the vibration that we were exuding back into the cosmos. And when it came to the part about the trees, maybe I misunderstood this last part, because we walked into the forest thinking we could follow the open field while being inside the forest. And when we came out of the forest, we were in the exact same spot that we had started at when we went into the forest. Do you recall that?
Oh, well, now thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
I almost forgot about that part. That's true. As we were walking, the drum toning did change. It was like it would be a very high pitch, and we'd be going along, all of a sudden, it would go in same drum, 3 seconds later, and it would start to go lower. There were all kinds of things like this happening. So this was a very magical time for us. Now, how do we explain any of this? And what does any of it mean? I'm really not sure. But the reason I bring these up is that I'm sure anyone who's listening right now has had similar experiences. You know, you have your own story about times that you had in your life that were magical, were mysterious, it was very difficult to explain why or how, but you know it had a profound effect on you, and it certainly did. As I said in the beginning of the story, we were strongly drawn to go to this place, even though others didn't come. And this has been part of our journey, too. The spiritual journey can quite often be a lonely one. When you're talking to people, friends, family, whatever, it's not necessarily very easy to talk about this because, they think it's just strange. But for those who have had similar experiences, that's where the communication comes in. Now, I'm talking about this experience as being one of the times that, and there were many of them. As I mentioned earlier, Jer and I met up approximately 1993, and it was during these times that we really were trying to form a way of communicating what we were learning, what we were experiencing, how we felt, how others felt, and the truth of it, not to, you know, go to a teacher or a shaman or anything and say, you know, what does this mean? No one can really explain, it's my view that no one can really explain to you what your experiences are, because these are your own personal experiences. But because individuals have similar ones to this, this is where the communication happens. Now, last week, we had a special guest, David Aubrey Berger. David, if you listened to last week's show, is someone who loves to teach in Mother Nature on canoe trips, going for walks in the forest, and doing anything in nature. And he believes nature is the real teacher, and gives us that calm and that peace and that feeling that that we need to communicate with ourselves and our spirit. And around the year 1999-2000, we had gone up to an Alela festival, and at that time David was, this is up in near the Bancroft area, David was looking at a piece of property that was about 160 acres, and they were thinking of perhaps, you know, forming a community and organizing people to come up and so on. So there were a few meetings on that, and we did go up to that area and have a look at the property. And now, although nothing really turned up from that actual meeting, it was during that time that we made a few trips up to the Bancroft area, and then Jera went up with a friend to do the same. But she, I wasn't with her at the time. Now, she decided, no, this was not something that she wanted to do. The property somehow was not the right kind of thing. And when she and her friend were coming on their way back, they were looking to get something to eat. And they saw a bed and breakfast, so they took when you're out in the country, there's all these little side dirt roads. They decided to take this side road, and then it went into another side road, and sure enough, they found this bed and breakfast. It was a campground, but they did have a restaurant there, and they were there for something to eat. Now, what happened was, as they passed or went into the campground, they saw a house, that was for rent.
No, we didn't know it was for rent.
Oh, they didn't know it was for rent. Maybe you can tell this better than I can.
Well, basically, I was so taken with the energy of the area, and I started speaking to the restaurant owner to find out if there was any places for rent around there. And they were German. They had just come over from Germany, and they were very, very rusty with their English. But they did understand that I was looking for a place, and they walked over to their brother's house. Now, they had come in from Germany 20-some-odd years before and spoke very good English. And right across the street from the campground, there was this cute, gorgeous, expansive, two-bedroom house, all glass on the upper floor, looking out over a ridge onto the river, and a glass sunroom in the front. And I was told that the people had just moved out the day before, very suddenly, and that it was, in fact, for rent. So I've never done anything so fast in my life. Within 3 weeks, I settled all my deals in Toronto and packed up a truck, and I was up there within 3 weeks' time. And I spent over 3.5 years on that property in the bliss of nature, And it is pretty amazing when you spend so much time by yourself, how in tune you become with the earth, the skies, the waters around you. I was constantly getting messages from rocks, and this is an area in Ontario which is on the Precambrian Shield, so if you can imagine going way, way back, it was a rock formation there that has since been covered over with ground, but when you walked on this 6-inch moss, it was like sponge, and then you could feel the little pebbles of the rock that had crumbled and decayed from centuries gone by under your feet. So that's how I spent 3.5 years and communing with wolves and deers, badgers, and huge turtles, and what else was up there? Bears.
Well, your two cats were up there.
Yeah.
Shakespeare and Shasta. And it's quite amazing how two cats from the city were very able to take care of themselves and just be a part of it. They worked as a team. I think they actually held off a badger at one time. I wasn't there for it, but I heard about it. I would, of course, I was not up there myself. This is something that Jara took on for herself. And here is a person. She didn't have a car. This is up about half an hour away from the closest town, which was Bancroft. She had to get her own wood to light the fire. Do everything herself with no car. But she managed. I mean, she managed to have a neighbor go into town, get food supplies, and do things like that. And eventually, over time, we were able to motor down there and with an older car, similar to the one I have right now. And she got the scooter on it in that, which is, Jara doesn't like to drive too much, but out in the country, it was just fine. I would make as many trips as I could to go up there. I lived in the city. I did make country trips other times, and I always loved to do that. I know more about southern Ontario than I'm sure most of the population here. I just love to take my kids, jump in the car, and go for a magical mystery tour. And they go, "Where are we going, Dad?" And I go, "Well, we're going on a magical mystery tour." "Okay." And I would just drive, go somewhere in the country, and I'd go to different places each time. But I would make I would say once a month, once every other month, go up there for some R&R, just to be able to relax and to gather myself in. And it always worked. It was so peaceful. You could, the air is so beautiful. You could eat the air. The water. This is an area where there were a lot of swamps and things like that, which is perfect because in a swamp, the water drains through the earth and gets down into the wells and is the kind of water that is perfect for drinking. I'd like to relay a time when I went up, which was, I keep on saying the word magical because it was. It was a weekend. I had planned to stay for a few days. And on the third or fourth day when I wanted to leave, it was moving towards spring once again. And it was a beautiful, sunny, almost warm day. And almost every bird in the universe decided to come to this area. And they came in different stages. started in the morning, and the sound of these birds, and there would be combinations, and I don't know the names of all the birds either, but I certainly can feel their presence when they were singing their songs. And when they finished, another group would come in. And I said, Jura, I can't leave. I have to stay. I have to stay. And yes.
Well, all I can say is these birds, I really have not seen anything like it. They were every shape, size, and color. At points, you almost felt like you were in a tropical jungle in Indonesia. It was It was like walking just through a doorway into another world. And it was just for that one day only. And then they were gone, and we were back to our normal cycle of spring birds and summer birds and fall birds and winter birds. But it was a display of beauty that I suppose we had craved, and the universe answered, and they were there. There again, yes.
Yeah, once again, I mean, and I had to phone in at that time because I was working somewhere and said, I'm sorry, I won't be there. You know, and it continued. It wasn't just the daytime. It went into the evening, and there were more. And then when the evening settled in, the frogs started to go into their, every kind of frog sound you could think of, from the ribbit, ribbit, to the ribbit, 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 just about every kind. And they would talk back and forth to each other. You could hear, it was like having monks.
Tibetan monks.
Coming to do a show. And I don't even know if we paused to eat. I mean, I don't remember that part. And that went right into the evening. I think I even have an old tape recording of Jura talking or saying a prayer during this time with the sound in the background. Well, these are some of, you know, I mean, there are so many different stories, and again, I'm encouraging people to give us a call. If you're out there and you have a magical moment in your life, and I'm sure there are many, you can call us, 877-270-8714. And if you're outside of the U.S., well, you can dial direct, 530-413-4515. Now we're coming to about the midway point of the program, and you're listening to Dream Path on BBS Late Night Live Talk Radio. I'd like to say at this point in time that if you're dreampath.ca has changed its name over the weekend out of necessity to dreampath.info. So if anyone is coming to dreampath.ca, there's a little notice saying that our new site address is dreampath.info. And so we're coming up to the midpoint, and you'll be listening to a song from our CD, Authentic, The Opening. And this song is called Dream Mountain. And so, Michelle, if you're ready to go with that and put that song on, we'd be glad to listen to it, and hopefully our listeners will enjoy it as well. If any of the musicians who have been attending the musicians meetup, hopefully you're listening to the show tonight as well. So, Michelle, hello. Are you ready with Dream Mountain? It is 6:40 on the hour. Pacific Mountain Time, is it? Every time we, so far, you know, it's been a real adventure being on BBS. You're listening to Dream Path on BBS Late Night Live Talk Radio. And we are live. Unless, of course, you're listening to the archive. We will, if you go to our archives, a few of the shows have been posted.
Bloopers.
bloopers. I'd really like to take this time to say thanks to Don Newsom and Doug Newsom. They are, and again, most of my talking, I get to talk to Don, maybe every other day, every other third day. I know how much we have to work to sort of put together not only the show but the site and all the different things that we do. And Don has to do about 20 times that. And so he's introducing BBS Late Night Talk, as well as doing the Daily Show, as well as doing the music, as well as introducing a brand new one, Can Talk, I think it is. And that's already being booked. And what is my point about all of this? I know it's something. Time for appreciation. We have had some wonderful guests who have been also very patient with this because, again, when you're doing something brand new, technical things can happen. Being a musician, I certainly know that is so true. You go in, you think you're going to go in and make the perfect recording, and it's the worst disaster ever. And another time you go in and you're not really thinking of doing anything in particular, it gets recorded and you go, wow, that's it. So sometimes it's hard to tell. And the most important thing is to be in the moment. And I must say that doing these talk shows live certainly puts you in the moment. Doing improv puts you in the moment. And I would encourage anyone who's listening to do something that puts you in the moment. You don't necessarily have to go and do an improv act or a stand-up comedy. I've never done a stand-up comedy. I understand that's probably.
No, he sits down when he does his comedy.
It's very easy to be comedic at the right time in the right place with your friends, but to stand up in front of a strange audience and you're there by yourself on the stage and be funny. But that's really what it is. It's important for all of us to be in the moment because that way we explore new territory about ourselves. And so we'll go back again to Bancroft and what we're about and what Dream Path's about. Discovering things about yourself. Discovering why, who you truly are. Discovering the things that give you joy. And if you think about it, it doesn't really work. It really needs to be experienced. And the only way to experience it is to put yourself in the moment and take some chances. It's like jumping into cold water. And I think I talked about that in the last show with David. Now, when Jarrah was up there was this beautiful countryside, but it is rock. You know, this is the shield, and according to David, the oldest rock formation, one of the oldest in the world, older than the mountains. And Jarrah just loves beauty, and she decided to create rock gardens. Now, it doesn't mean they were just rocks. She would go down to the quarry, pick up rocks, get a talk to those rocks, See, yeah, take me, no, take me. And I found myself, you know, when you go up there, you had to do some work. You couldn't just come up there and sit around and go, oh, nice countryside, eh? No, you had to, you know, put in your time. So we get this sled. We found out that this worked out the best. It was a plastic sled. We gathered these rocks, put them in the sled, and dragged them up the hill to her property. And, you know, get them out and make a formation. And in that formation was going to be a garden. And gardens of various kinds of flowers and so on. And that took a lot of work. I mean, you had to go all the way down to the quarry, get all those different kinds of rocks. And then even the rocks themselves, when the formation was made, were beautiful in themselves. But the planting had to begin. Now, this is very, very sandy soil. So how could anything other than the wild flowers that grew there, which were very beautiful, how could they, you know, grow in this terrain? Well, Jarrah did find a way. I mean, she was there for 3 years. By the third year, there was not only rock gardens, but within each one of them, a magnificent array of flora and fauna.
Fairy gardens,
that's true. Boy, would you like to talk about some of these fairy gardens? I mean, these, again, there were different parts in the property that you could get to experience this in the daytime or nighttime or evening.
Oh, gosh, the garden. What I found very interesting about that land was the pictures we took. Quite often we would be taking a photograph of some form of beauty, and when we actually saw the picture after it had been put up on the computer or developed, life forms in the pictures. We actually have a few of them up on the site under our gallery photos. And there's...
you know, that was something I was going to mention. Thanks for reminding me about that. Because if you go to DreamPath and go to our gallery, there are some... Well, actually, right on our index page, there's a picture of Jarrah and myself.
No?
That's
on the bio.
That's on the bio?
Oh,
on the bio page? Okay, she knows this much better than I do because she did all the work. On the bio page, I'm standing holding a magic stick. The wizard. Jarrah's holding out her hand. And if you'll notice, on the right side of our shoulders, there's spirit. It almost looks like a bird in quick motion. There were a number of pictures taken during that time, and if you go to our picture sites, you will see a number of the angel wings, spirit coming out of rocks. Someone had come up and taken some of these pictures for us, mostly in the evening time, and because it was a digital camera, we were able to get it on to the computer, and when we put it on, we were like, what? So this was a truly a magical place. The fairy gardens were also created by Jarrah, and you know, fairies, you name it, dwarfs, the magical little people, were there, and you could commune with them. Sometimes the cats would communicate to them. We'd have there was one time, because we do have, or Jarrah had, I say we because I was out there so many times, the deer would come through the property, look around, have a nibble of this, that, and the other. But this was one particular evening, well, just before evening, and the cats were out, and this big buck comes stops. You could hear the hoof prints just boom, boom, boom. And this buck had horns with, you know, 8 different antlers coming out of it. It was like the king. And apparently, there's, you know, up in that country, unfortunately, they're, at least to us, you know, the idea of killing animals is not something that, you know, appeals to us. But it is wild country, and so there are a lot of hunters up there. But apparently this buck survived all of it. And in fact, there's a story about one of the neighbors down the way who actually had his rifle out, saw this buck, pointed the rifle at him, and the buck just turned and looked, and he couldn't shoot. Anyway, back to the story. This buck was in the backyard. Of course, it's a big backyard. It's right underneath the fairy tree. And Shasta, the female cat, came out, her fur standing out as much as she could, letting that buck know that he was not necessarily welcome there. And she was so ferocious, a little cat. Well, actually, she was quite a big cat. Took off. Now, Jared was able to see this. You know, these, if you're living in the city, I would say to anyone who's listening, anytime you get a chance to be with Mother Nature, it's a great way to not only meditate and be with yourself, but to really experience and get a perspective. Even if you come back to the city again, you can bring that with you. Now, at some point, life being what it is, Jera found that she, and again, I have so many stories about this place, but just to sort of make a big, you know, roll over the whole thing, Jera found that she had to leave her beautiful home in the country and come back to Toronto. And I helped her, you know, help her move and everything like that. Now, as sad as that is,
still nobody in the house.
That's true. Nobody lives there yet, and we both feel that at some point in the future, you know, we'll be back. It's meant to be. But in the meantime, we had another journey here in Toronto. Again, why? Well, you know, the call comes. You don't really know why. But that, when Jared came back, that's really when we began to get together and form what is known as Dream Path, as you can see on our site if you come to it. And our way of communicating to people what we really feel is going on in the world at this time. I mean, we don't read the papers. We don't watch TV. We don't believe the media. we believe in people. And we know that everyone in their hearts is truly here to experience the change that is occurring at this time. And what that is exactly, I mean, if you listen, you've got at least 66 different hosts on BBS Radio who have different takes, different ways of helping people get to a place where they can really understand how they can better. And we're back. Actually, that was no fault of BBS Radio. Our phone went out for some reason. But we're back. And we're back with the cat. This is a time for many of us that not only can be joyful and fun, and you know, discovering new things about ourselves and finding new places to go, hearing the call to where we need to go at this time. And of course, we'll be interviewing a lot of people who have had very interesting journeys in their life. And we've had some interesting guests on our show as well. And just as a reminder, I'd like to let you know that this March we've got a full lineup. We had David Aubrey Berger on last Saturday. Coming up on March the 17th, we have a gentleman by the name of Stephen Dabrowski. And Stephen Dabrowski's academic experience is extensive. He has a master in learning disabilities, a bachelor's degree in psychology. This is very focused on children with learning disabilities, behavior disorders, and development disabilities.
Attention deficit.
His master's in education administration, focused on leadership skills. And during the show, I think he's going to be bringing through a step-by-step kind of program that he's worked with a number of people in Las Vegas. Now, we know Stephen Dabrowski because he lived here in Toronto and did his own radio show here in Toronto about exactly what I was just talking about, children's disabilities, families working together, parent college. And he got this call to come down to Vegas to bring this program there, and he's remained there ever since. If you wanted to, you could catch him on, there's an interview with him on lightworker.com. If you look through there, you'll find Stephen Dabrowski. So look for that. That's March the 17th, Saturday, same time as right now, wherever you are in the world. And after Stephen, we are going international, and Ian Henderson from the Netherlands. Ian is dedicated to reuniting twin flames and twin souls, and assisting all humanity to empower and realize the divine plan of God, the universe, and universal consciousness. His lectures and workshops given around the world center around Mother Earth, humanity, and her ascension into her new consciousness in the new energy. So this week's topic, and that'll be March the 24th, will be on dimensions. And it'll actually be on a, what is that called?
PowerPoint
display, so you could actually go to it. And as he's talking in the show, on this PowerPoint presentation, you will have a visual of that. And before I go on, Stephen Dabrowski is www.allaboutyourchildren.com. And Ian Henderson from the Netherlands is www.twinflames-twinsouls.net. And finally, on March the 31st, we will be joined by another friend, Dorinka Blagaj, and she will be talking with me to Janie Lozon, who returned to her cultural roots and love of melody to create a truly unique recording, Mixed Blessings. So we'll have a musician on our show. And with the help of award-winning producer Whiteley, she has created this album. She's often been described by, as Janis Joplin singing with the voice of an angel, and transforming Aboriginal stories into music. She finds is hugely rewarding. These songs are prayers, giving thanks for our survival despite great challenges. And Janie Lozon uses her multidisciplinary skills to create a fun, exciting career in the arts. So that's coming up March the 31st.
Time was fun.
Time of the Fixin'. Oh, yeah, that's...
It's not on there.
It's not on there. Well, here, you know more about that than I do. Time of the Sixth Son. Why don't you...
It's interesting when you're in the flow, and sometimes you don't have to take the steps. They come to you. And someone forwarded an email to me with a link to a site called, I think it's The Sixth Son. No, timeofthesixthsun.com. You can find it on the site if I'm not quoting it properly on our site. It's a film that's in progress at this very moment, and the producer is Nikki Williams from the United Kingdom, and she is presently going around the world filming and interviewing Aboriginal tribes on their beliefs on what's going to happen up to the time of 2012. This woman, I just got such a warmth from reading her site, and I contacted her, and she has agreed to do an interview with us. I don't know if it'll be in April or May when she returns from Peru, because she's filming in Peru right now. But rest assured, that will be a show not to be missed. We also have...
Paul McCartney, right? We have Paul McCartney? We don't know when we're going to have Paul McCartney, but it'll be sometime in the future.
yeah, Dennis wants to interview Paul McCartney, and I want to interview Shirley MacLaine. So we're putting that out to the universe, and Godspeed with the results. It's coming in. What else? We have another. Oh, I just love this bubbly person, Alice. And correct me if I'm not saying your name right, Alice. Alice Emu. She's a reverend out of Honolulu, and she's really a master of feng shui, and she channels Madame Peely, which I believe is a volcano, or the fire spirit of a volcano in Hawaii. And she is just a breath of spring, and I can't wait to talk to her. We've been emailing back and forth, and we're both quite excited about that. So there's a few on the top of the list that we'll be having on the show in the future.
I'll put this out right now. This is our third or fourth show. If Lorena McKinnon would like to come on our show too, here's your special invitation to come on our show as well. Lorena McKinnon is a singer, songwriter, and many people. She has a wonderful following, and she is one of those people who does the music the way she wants it, and she runs everything, every step of the way, from the cover of the album, the way it's presented. She does very few concerts. She only puts out an album every 3 or 4 or 5 years. Beautiful music. Also, all you musicians out there on BBS Radio, you do beautiful music. And although this is talk radio, and we have all kinds of wonderful guests, I would like to definitely have some of you on the show. So contact us if you would be interested. You can reach us at dreampath.info. There will be more information on that as we go along, but we're very busy transferring from .ca to .info right now. So within a week, we should be, I think we'll be set. Jarrah's had to work 24 hours today just doing that. We're having a wonderful time here. Thank you so much for joining us. The adventure continues, and it is my hope and desire that the adventure continues for you as well. I encourage everyone who's listening to join us, join our other hosts on BBDS Radio. There's so much. If you explore this site, you will find that you don't need to watch TV. You don't need to go to the media. So much of the real news is happening here, and so many of the healers are here. I'd like to take this time also to thank everybody who's been a part of this, to create Dream Path. We've had friends help us throughout the years, so you know who you are, and I'd like to say a special thanks to you as well. And Dawn and Wynn made a small appearance on our show last week. It kind of got interrupted back and forth. So if you guys are listening, hello. This has been a wonderful experience. We invite you to join us again next week. And again, it's Stephen Dabrowski. He's a very interesting gentleman who will enlighten you on so many different aspects of parenting, how to work and play with your children, and to allow them to bring out their best, because really it's the children who have got the magic within them, and quite often, at least in our past, that is sort of washed away by schools and not to say that there's always usually some good teacher or some person in our lives who encourages the true talent that we have, the true spirit that we have, and encourages us to continue with that. And that's what we're doing here at DuPath. We're saying hello. There's a beautiful world out here. It's all a matter of perspective, and you can change your perspective anytime you like. Just go within. The power is always within. Once you discover that within yourself, you can bring that to the world, and the world will be, if it's love, love will come back to you. And so I'd like to say good night at this time. Thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you again next week. And we'd like to end the show with a song from the CD, Authentic, The Opening. It's one that's being played on BBS Radio currently, and it is called Mystery Morning Light.
Michel, ma belle, sur les mots qui vont très bien ensemble, très bien. Hey.
mystery morning light. Come away with me for today. Hey, mystery morning light. Come away with me for today. Here's thunder and the rain as the wind comes whispering in like the shadow of your voice. It reminds me where I've been. In 100 million ways, come the clouds and look for day. Flying high and circling deep, the summer and the heat. Every morning comes to me. See it in your eyes. Every morning comes like this. All the things you are. Hey, mystery morning light. Will you come away with me for the day? Hey, mystery morning light, will you come away with me for today? Mystery morning, oh, mystery morning light, oh, come away.